Okay, we're beginning on the top of Ayin Bet Amunalef by the Gemara. Tanur Banan, we have a Braita. V'shavin, bitovelet, laila l'zava. Woman who goes to the mikveh at night for her tumat ziva. She'ena tvila. That's not classified as a tvila. V'shavin. And they also agree, biro'ah, bitovchut alef yom. That if she sees during the 11 days of Yemei Ziva, bitavla l'erev. And she went to the mikveh at night. V'shimsha. And then had bi'ah. She's still classified as a nida because she hasn't been mitaheret from her ziva. Then she's mitame mishkav moshav and the chayev korban for boel nida. The only machlok between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai is on the 11th day. So all of this is really a summary of what we saw in the Mishnah. It's interesting that the Braita here says vishavin twice, which seems to be unnecessary. Rashi himself says that it's Bach Seifa Perish the Reisha. Seifa is an explanation of the Reisha. The second half is just explaining the first half, because otherwise why do you need to say the same thing twice, which is a tevila at night doesn't work. That's what the two lines say, that when you're in your Yemei Ziva, and you're either a Zava Ketana or Zava Gdola, during your 11 days of Yemei Ziva, going to the mikveh at night has no impact. And similarly, during your Shiva Nikim, on the sixth day of your Shiva Nikim, if you go at night, which is right at the beginning of the seventh day, that has no impact. You need to go to the mikveh during the day. On the subsequent day to your Tumah, when your Zavak Tana means the day after you had the sighting, if you're a Zavak Dola, it means the seventh day of your Shiva Nikim, you need to go to the mikveh. If you go at night beforehand, that doesn't do anything. It's a meaningless trip to the mikveh, and therefore, she is Tumeah. And that's why you have the resultant outcome, which is that she's mitama mishkava moshav, because she's a full-fledged nida, and the boel nida has all the dinim of a boel nida, because she is classified as being tmeah, that means they're chayavei korban chatat for boel nida b'shogeg, and he is tamei like a boel nida. Lo nechluku elaviyom yudalef yom. The machlok between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai is on the 11th day. Beit Shammai omrim mitami mishkava moshav v'chayavin korban. It means on the 11th day, if she has a sighting, that night, post the 11th day, which is already the 12th day, if she goes to the mikveh, does nothing according to Beit Shammai, and therefore she is mitamei mishkavin moshav and chayav korban. I mean, it's no different than any one of the other days of the Yemei Ziva, which is she remains a nidah. She is not tehora. Therefore, she's mitamei mishkavin moshav and your chayav korban for bol nidah. Beit Hillel says potrimi korban. They say that the oraita, she is tehora. At night, she goes to the mikvah on the night after the 11th day. She is tehora. Amar lo lahen Beit Shammai de Beit Hillel. Maishna yom yud alef, miyom toch yud alef. What's the difference between the 11th day and all the days that are before that in the Yemei Ziva? Why should 11th day be anything different? Im shiva lo lutuma, lo yishve lo lekurban. We already saw in the Mishnah that Beit Hillel agrees at night that there is still tum'at, mishkav, and moshav. The only thing they said is that they're patur min korban. Beit Hillel bifurcates the din on the night after the 11th. If she goes to the mikveh, she's no longer a nidah d'oraita, and therefore there's no korban for boel nidah. On the other hand, they say that she is tmeah, which seems to imply that she is a nidah, and that's what Beit Shammai is challenging about Beit Hillel. Why are you differentiating or bifurcating the din? Either she is or she isn't a nidah. Amar lahem Beit Hillel to Beit Shammai, lo, ima mart bitoch yud alef yom, shuken yom shlacharav mitzarefi mod ziva. The difference is, any other day during the yud alef yom ziva, the day afterwards can be mitzaref, can join together with the previous day to make her tmeya. You can have a linking of the days to have her tuma then continue into the next day. For instance, if she saw on the fourth day of yom ziva, then she's supposed to be shomeret yom keneged yom. That means on day number five, she goes to the mikveh, and at sunset on day number five, she'd be Torah. But if she has a sighting on day number five, that links it together to day four, and then she is Tmeah, day four, day five, and now she has to be Shomer Yom Keneged Yom on day six. Day six also now will wait on the day number six if you have a sighting, then that links together with four, five, and six, and then you become a Zavah Gedolah. So what Beit Hillel is pointing out is that any one of the other days of the Yemei Ziva, the reason why at night it doesn't work at all is because any subsequent sighting that you have will link retroactively back to the previous sighting that you had. That is not true by the 11th day. On the 11th day, since that's the last of your Meizivah, then the day afterwards is day 12. If you have a sighting then, it would be Tchilat Lenida. It won't link back to the Yemei Zivah. It's a new start of a new cycle. So because of that, she is now, quote-unquote, cleared of her Nida on the night afterwards if she goes to the Mikveh, at least Mida Oraita. That's the difference. The 12th day will never connect or never be linked to the 11th day because it's a new cycle already by the 12th day. Any other day during the Yemei Zivah will be linked together with the previous day where you had a sighting. Amar lehem Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai says back to them, Hishvu midotechem. All right, we'll accept your argument that maybe there's something different about the 11th day than all the other days, but at least then be consistent in your position. Im shiva lo l'tuma, ishva lo l'korban. If you say that she is tmeah like a nida on the night after the 11th day when she goes to the mikveh, you treat her like a nida as far as tuma is concerned, then you should treat her like a nida for korban, meaning that the boil nida b'shogeg should be chayav a korban. Vim lo shiva lo the korban, or like you're saying here that they're not chayav a korban because it's not classified as a boil nida lo yishve lo the tuma. Then there should be no tuma nida on that day. Again, you bifurcated the din, so we accept that maybe there is something different about the day, the night after the 11th day. Let's accept that that is true, but at least be consistent then. That either she is or isn't a nida or is a vaktana on that night, and therefore the outcome would be either she is tmeah and there is a korban, or she is torah and there is no korban. You, Beit Hillel in the Mishnah, said that she is tmeah but no korban. Those are inconsistent positions to take. Amar lehem Beit Hillel, imi avinuhu lidei tuma lahachmir. There are two different issues. One is that we go to Chumrah by the Tuma, and we're not going to be Mekil by the Korban. The truth is, what they're saying, and Rashi said this on the Mishnah, is that this is a Gzeirat Chachamim. It is a Takana to prevent people from coming to the wrong conclusion. So then, once we instituted the Takanat Chachamim, the Chachamim can institute something like Achmir, which means we'll make you Tmeah. What they can't be mekil is for you to bring a korban to the mikdash when you don't have to bring a korban. That's chulin lazara. The concept is that we are worried that if we let this woman on the night after the 11th go to the mikveh and be completely tahora, she will come to the mistaken conclusion that in other situations during your meizivah, if she goes to the mikveh at night, she would be fine. Which is not true, because according to Beit Hillel, as we saw, b'shavin, everybody agrees that if you go to mikveh the night after your sighting, during the 11 days you may zivah, that's nothing. And d'oraita, she is still a nidah or a zavak hitana. And you bring a korban for bol nidah, she is mitama mishkav and moshav. So all of those apply. So if I let you on the night after the 11th do the same thing and say you're completely tahora, people will get confused and say, oh, I can always go to the mikveh at night. To prevent that problem, they said, we're going to make her tmeah on the night after the 11th, even if she goes to the mikveh, even though midoraita she is Torah, we're going to make her tmeah. We can't make her bring a korban or the husband bring a korban if they had biyah, because pachamim don't have the power to allow you to bring chulin lazara. But as far as the tumah is concerned, which is a chumrah, that they can institute, and that's what it is. It's an institution midrabanan. Now, they also say, ve'od midivreichem, atem noshchim, and then Beit Hillel says to Beit Shammai, why are you asking about our position? What about your position? From your own position, you are bidden or refuted, meaning that you yourselves are contradicting yourselves because you do the exact same thing in the next day. Shatem omrim, tabla yom shalacharav, on the 12th day during the morning, if she goes to the mikveh, mishim shav achar kach rata, and then she has a sighting later on the 12th day, mitama mishkav moshav umtura min akurban. Beit Hillel says she is Torah legamre. There's no tuma, there is no korban. She's not allowed to be together with her husband, as the Mishnah says, that's a gargaran. That's someone who acts like a glutton, meaning that doesn't wait the appropriate amount of time. But midoraita, she is completely tohora. Once you go to the mikveh on the morning, according to Beit Hillel, she's already tohora. She went to the mikveh the night before. But clearly, when you went in the morning, she is tohora, and there's no institution midrabanan. And so therefore, she's tohora. But Beit Shammai says, if she goes to the mikveh in the morning, and then she is mishameshet in ba'ala, then we say that she is still tmeah, tumat ishkav and moshav, but there is no korban for the biyah. For in essence, they do the exact same thing Beit Hillel did the night before, Beit Shammai does on the morning because they believe that's where the Gezeirat Chachamim is, which is that we don't want them to be together. We want her to understand that her Tahara is dependent on the sunset on that day, and not when she goes to the mikvah on that morning. So even though on the 12th day, when she goes to the mikvah, she is Torah the Gamre, because there's no need for any further Tahara, because you can't link it to the day 12. Nevertheless, because of any one of the other days of the Yimei Zimah, had she gone to the mikvah on the morning after she had a sighting, she would have to wait until Harav Shemesh, until the end of that day, to be Torah. So Beit Shammai says, well, we don't want people to make the mistake and think that when you go to the mikvah on the 12th day, that works, and she's Torah, everything is fine. So therefore, we are gozer in that case, exactly what Beit Hillel did on the night before. The exact thing that you're complaining that we did, you do on the day of the 12th, which is you say that she is mitama mishkav moshav, but no korban for bol nida. Afatem yishvu midotchem. Why don't you say the same thing to yourselves? Be consistent. Im shiva lo letuma, yishve lo lekorban. If she is tmeya, then they should have to bring a korban for bol nida. Im lo shiva lo lekorban. And if they do not have to bring a korban, which is the din, then lo yishve lo letuma. Then why should she be tmeya? Ella, what is the reasoning that you say this? Lehachmir velo lehakel. The same thing. It's a gzeirat kachamim. And gzeirat kachamim can be machmir, which means it can institute tuma, but they can't force you to bring a korban, which is kulin bazara. So your institution is just on the day of the 12th. We are just doing it the night before, because we think she's already Torah midorait on the night before. Hachanami lachmir lo akel. We are no different than you. So it turns out that their machloket is really a fundamental machloket as to when on the 12th day she becomes Torah midorait. And that is, according to Beit Hillel, once the elapsement of the 11th day happens, anytime you go to the mikvah on the 12th day, that's whether at night or during the day, she is Torah midorait. Now, midorabanan, they instituted at night that she still has a sense of being a nida, because we don't want people simulating or emulating this behavior during the 11 days of Yimei Zivah. On the morning, already there, if she went to the mikveh, then they didn't institute anything. That's because if she went to the mikveh during her Yimei Zivah, she would be Torah midorait. It's only if she sees later that day that it would undermine her going to the mikveh. The mafrei, it undermines it. So that's why Beit Hillel says, look, on the day, at worst, even if she went to the mikveh, it would only be a risk of being a violation d'oraita during the 11 days of Mezivah, so we're not going to institute anything on the 12th day. Although they do say, Arizek Gargaran, that person should not do this. It's improper type of behavior. But nevertheless, it's not a problem midirabanan. That's Beit Hillel's position. Beit Shammai's position is that if you go to the mikveh on the night after the 11th day, on the 12th day, it's nothing. D'oraita, you're still completely a zavah, tana, you are a nida. And therefore, there's tumah, there's korban, there's everything. The next morning, they agree, if you go to the mikveh, you're done. But they don't want you to feel like you're done, because if you feel like you're done now, you're going to do the same thing during your Yimei Zivah. And the truth is that during your Yimei Zivah, it also works, with the exception of the case when you have a sighting afterwards, which then removes the tefillah or the efficacy of the tefillah retroactively. So they wanted to prevent that happening or people making that a mistake. And therefore, on the day itself, they instituted this din d'rabbanan, that she still is tmeya, like a nida, even though you won't bring a korban for boil nida. Because the doraita, she is Torah. It's only midrabanan that she is problematic. It is true that Beit Shammai only says this if achar kach rata, if she sees it later on the 12th day. That's because even though when she sees it later on the 12th day, it has no impact retroactively because it's already the 12th day and that makes it tchilat nida. Nevertheless, in a similar situation during the Yimei Zivah, that would have retroactive impact. And that's why there goes there on the day of the 12th, that even though she's technically Tohra the Gamre, and the sighting she has later in the day makes her a Nida, and does not make her into a Zaba, nevertheless, if you had the same scenario on day 4, day 5, or day 6 in your Yimei Zivah, then she would have retroactive Tumah, and she would be Tmeah, the Tefillah would have been nothing. That's why they institute it on the daytime. So that's the difference between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. And again, it boils down to a fundamental machloket as to whether going to the mikveh the night after the 11th is sufficient. Beit Hillel says midoraita, that's it. According to Beit Shammai, you still need to wait till the next morning, midoraita, to be Torah. But both agree that once you've gone to the mikveh at your respective time, you are Torah. The only question is the institution midrabanan, what we want you to prevent you from making a mistake or having the wrong impression about what is happening here. Amar Rav Huna, mishkava u'moshava, Shibisheni, Beit Shammai mitamim, Avopi shetavla, avopi shelo ra'ata. So now, Rav Huna now makes a statement, which is controversial, because we're going to see that the Gemara is going to question whether it's true or not. But he is saying now that on the second day for Beit Shammai, that the woman is tmeah, even though she went to the mikveh, and even though she doesn't have a subsequent sighting. So if she had a sighting during any one of the 11 days of Yemei Ziva, and then the next morning she goes to the mikveh, which is proper procedure, that's what she should be doing. She'd be going to the mikveh on the next morning, that Shomeret Yom, Keneged Yom, the next morning she goes to the mikveh, she will be completely tohura once the day terminates, meaning at Harev Shemesh, the end of the day, she'll be completely tohura. Now, if she has no other sighting at that point in time, then she was cleared, because the tumah that she had the day before was terminated by the tevilah she did on the morning of the next day. And then she waited for Harev Shemesh. That just proves that that was a shomeret yom keneged yom, and then she is tohura. On the other hand, if she had a sighting later on that day, we already established that that retroactively would make her tumeah all the way through. What Rav Huna comes to be mechadesh over here is that Beit Shammai believes that when she goes to the mikveh on the next morning, which is again proper procedure, she remains tmeah even though she's gone to the mikveh, even though she no longer sees, again, until the end of the day, even though she has Harev Shemesh, there's still a din derabbanan that she remains tmeah throughout that next day. My taima, kevin deilu chazia mitama. Since if she did see something, she would be tmeah retroactively. Hashtanami mitamyo. There's a gzera derabanan that should continue throughout the day. The truth is, the woman is tluya. She is in a state of safek throughout the next day when she's shomeret yom keneged yom. For example, she sees on the fourth day, the fifth day in the morning, she goes to the mikveh. She's fine as long as she makes it through the entire fifth day without any sighting. But that is a safek. If she has a sighting any time during the fifth day, it's going to undermine her tevilah. What happens to all the tarot that she interacts with on the fifth day? They are tluyot. They're besafek until you clear the day. So what Rav Huna suggests is that Beit Shammai believes that throughout that day, she is tmeah midrabanan because of the risk that she could see in the remainder of the day. That risk is enough of a reason to keep her tmeah midrabanan so that she doesn't make any mistake about what happens when she has a sighting later on, or she doesn't interact with Tarot or with her husband because she thinks she is Torah, because she's not Torah until we get the final say at the end of the day. So Amar Rav Yosef, my Kamash Malan. What's the Chiddush of Rav Huna? Tanina, it's our Mishnah. Tavlo Yom Shalach Rav. Our Mishnah says if she goes to the mikvah on the morning of the 12th day, Vishimsha et Beita, and then was together with her husband, Varchakach Rada, and then later on has a sighting during that day, Beit Shammai Omrim, Mitamot, Mishkavot, Umoshavot, Umuturot, Mina Korban. This is exactly the position of Beit Shammai we just discussed, that they say you're Tmeah Midrabanan for the entire 12th day, even after you go to the mikveh. And that is because we are afraid that if you have another sighting that day, even though that sighting does not have any retroactive tumah, nevertheless, we are gozer tumah there because we worry about toch yimei ziva, where if you had another sighting, it would be impactful. So too, on a regular day during yimei ziva, where you shomer yom keneged yom, will be gozer, the case where you're not seeing, lo ra'ata, atu ra'ata, atu, the case where you do see. And therefore, Rav Yosef sees that as an extension of what we said in Beit Shammai's opinion with regards to day 12, just like over there where gozer on day 12, atu, the 11th day you may ziva, even though on day 12 you will never reach retroactive tumah, so too, by the case of during you may ziva, when you don't see, and you can never reach retroactive tumah, we will still be gozer, or to the case where you do see, and there will be retroactive tumah. Amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says to Rav Yosef, I don't understand why you think they're the same case. Rato Shaini. That case on the 12th day is different because they had a sighting of Dam later in the day. The reason that Beit Shammai says she is tmeah on that 12th day is not simply because she went to the mikveh and now she's waiting for Erev Shemesh. When she went to the mikveh, she was done. The reason that we say that she is tmeah is because she has a sighting, actual sighting later in the day. That's why they say there's tumah midrabanan. You're saying that's similar to Rav Huna's case, where she goes to the mikveh on the morning, now she's during her Yemei Ziva, it was the fourth day she had a sighting, fifth day she went to the mikveh in the morning, and now she is tohura legamrei midoraita, And now you're telling me Beit Shammai says she's Tmeah, even though she has no sighting for the remainder of the day? Why are those equivalent cases? They're not the same case. Ravuna, first of all, is a Chiddush. And number two is, it's not what's said in the Mishnah. The Mishnah sets up a case where she does see later in the day. Whereas the case that Ravuna is suggesting is a case where she doesn't see later in the day. I'm Rav Yosef. V'chirata, mayhavya, v'iya, d'nidahi. Rav Yosef makes the point that the sighting later on the 12th day is meaningless. The sighting on the later on the 12th day is not part of her ziva. It's not part of making her to ziva. It's a tchila d'nida. It's actually prospective to ma. Because when she sights later on the 12th, she becomes a nida here to forward. But prior to that point, it has no impact. Yes, it has tuma me'eleit, retroactive tuma. But we know already from earlier in the Masechta that retroactive tuma does not affect the Bo'el, her husband. Retroactive tuma is only the Gabe Tarot for 24 hours retroactively. It does not affect the Bo'el. So that retroactive tuma will have no bearing on her husband. And what he's pointing out is that the Riyah later in the day is not meaningful in the context of Ziva. Because when she sees it, it's prospective tuma, it's Nida. It's nothing to do with the sighting prior to that on the 11th day. So he says, that sighting is as if there is no sighting. It makes no difference. And therefore, I think that Rav Huna is saying the exact same thing the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is saying, according to Beit Shammai, she is Tmeah Midrabanan on the 12th day, if she has a sighting later in the day. Well, that sighting is a Nida sighting. It has nothing to do with the Ziva. And yet, Beit Shammai says she is Tmeah Midrabanan. That seems to imply that it has nothing to do with the sighting. It's irrespective of the sighting she is Tmeah. And that's what Rav Huna says about day 4 and day 5, when she has a sighting day 4. Goes to Mikvah on day 5, Beit Shammai are going to say that she is Tmeah for the remainder of the day, irrespective of whether she has a sighting or not. If she has a sighting, she's Tmeah Midrabanan. If she has no sighting, she's Tmeah Midrabanan. So Rav Yosi says, I don't see that Ra'ata and the Mishnah undermining what I said, that these are the exact same thing. Amalei Abaye, the Rav Yosef, so Abaye, Rav Yosef's Talmud, says to him, Rav Kahana, hacha kakashile. Wait a minute, Rav Kahana, this is what's bothering him, and this is why he thinks that you're wrong here, is because, Bishlama hecha derato, if she sees later on the 12th day, Enoch Hanami, you're right, that Riyah is a Riyah Nida. But then, Gazrin and Riyah Nida, atu Riyah de Zava. Then we would be gozer, because of the way it looks. This feeling for this woman is that she had a sighting on day number 11. She goes to the mikvah at the beginning of day 12, and then she has a sighting later on day 12. You're right that sighting later on day 12 has no impact retroactively, because it's a riyah of nida, but think about that scenario in the middle of her yamei ziva. Had she had a sighting on day 4, then went to the mikvah beginning of day 5, then had a sighting later on day 5, that would be problematic midoraita. That would wipe out the tefillah retroactively. So since it looks like a problematic setup, even though here it's not problematic, but it looks like a problematic setup, therefore I would be gozer tum'ah, because I don't want her to get the mistaken impression when she sees later on the 12th day that that has no impact retroactively, because then she'll think the same thing when she sees late on the 5th day that it has no impact retroactively, and that's not true. So that's why you would be gozer in that case. But eicha d'lo ra'ata, my nigzerba. If she never has another sighting on the day, why would Beit Shammai institute Tuma on that day? She's not going to come to any mistaken impression. She went to the mikveh during Yemei Ziva. She went to the mikveh on the morning of the 5th, saw the sunset on the 5th, didn't have any other sighting. She would be Tehora. There's no mistaken impression that's going to come from it. That's why Rav Kahana challenges your understanding that what is said in the Mishnah is Rav Huna's position, because it's not. They're different. Rav Huna's position is, irrespective of whether they have a sighting or not, Beit Shammai says you're Tmeah. The Mishnah says you need a sighting to be Tmeah. Now, even though that sighting is a sighting of Nida, it's a reason to institute a Gzeira, because it looks like a problematic sighting, even though it isn't a problematic sighting. Without any sighting, what's the problem? Why would you institute Tuma when you have no sighting at all? V'od, it's not. In addition to that, we have a Mishnah in Zavin. Haro'eh Riyah Achat Shel Zov. A man who has a sighting of Zov. If you remember from earlier in the Masechta, a Zav can have three different sightings. Sighting number one is like a Baal Keri. Sighting number two makes him Chayav in Shiva Nikiim. Sighting number three makes him Shiva Nikiim plus a Korban. So that's the sequence of sightings of a Zav. So here he had one sighting. One sighting makes him into equivalent of a Baal Keri. Beit Shammai Omrim, Kishomeret Yom, Keneged Yom. The din here is like a shomeret yom keneged yom. Beit Hillel omrim kibal keri. Beit Hillel says that it's like a bal keri. Now they both agree that on that day itself, you can go to the mikveh. On the day you have the sighting, you can go to the mikveh. The sun sets, you are tohor. That everybody agrees to. The question is, what is your status in the interim? Because there is a risk here that you might have a second sighting. If you have a second sighting, then retroactively it connects to the previous sighting, and then you're going to the mikveh on that day was meaningless. So Beit Hillel says, even if you have a second sighting, it doesn't connect retroactively to the first sighting. It's a new prospective tumah. You were a tamei for bal keri. You never became cleansed of that bal keri problem because you were going to the mikveh didn't do anything. But then when you have the second sighting of zav, then prospectively you're now a zav and you have to deal with it. But Beit Shammai says, if you have a second sighting and you become a zav, that means retroactively you were a zav all the way from the first sighting. It doesn't start at the sighting number two. It starts at sighting number one. And therefore, they have a different view as to what happens here. Beit Shammai says, you're like a shomer yom keneged yom. A shomer yom keneged yom, when she goes to the mikveh on the beginning of the fifth day after a sighting on the fourth day, she is Torah. But if she has a sighting on the fifth day, that retroactively connects to the fourth day, and she was Tumeah all the way through at the same level of Tumah. And that's the same thing here. If the Zav has a second sighting, that goes retroactively back to the first sighting, and they're all connected. There's Tumah straight through of Zav. On the other hand, Beit Hillel says that it's different. By the woman, that is correct. By Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. By Bal Keri, that is not the case, because Bal Keri, or the first sighting of Zav, are a lower form of Tumah. They don't reach that higher level of Tumah till the second sighting. And that second sighting is prospectively Tameh. It doesn't have any retroactive impact of connecting back to the first Riyah. So that's the machloket here between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel as to how we view this. As Rashi points out here, a nafkamina would be that if you can eat maser right after you go to the mikveh from your first sighting of Zav or your sighting of Bal Keri. According to Beit Shammai, you can't eat maser, because if you then hit another Riyah, then you're going to be Tameh all the way through, and that would be a problem. Because the Tumah of the Riyah Rishonah and the Riyah Shniyah, according to Beit Shammai, are equal if he has a second sighting. Therefore, he can't eat Maaser in the interim. Whereas for Beit Hillel, the Tumah, or elevated Tumah, only starts when you have the second sighting. It has no impact from the time of the first sighting. Vitanyo. And we have an additional Braita that says, a Misit et Riyah. Someone who basically carries. Hasata is a form of carrying. It's an ability to move an object, even though you're not in direct contact with the object. It's a derivative of tumat masa. If a person carries a riyah, riyah means an emission. So a person who carries a first emission of a zav, Beit Shammai omrim tolin. Beit Shammai says, we've got to wait and see now. We don't know what your status is. If you only have one sighting, then it's like bal keri, and hesed of bal keri doesn't make you tamei. On the other hand, if you have a second sighting, then your first sighting was tumat ziva, and that means if you do hasatar, if you do masa by tumat ziva, then you are tameh. So Beit Shammai says you are in limbo now to see if you have a second sighting. If you have a second sighting, then as we said before, retroactively from the first sighting, you are full-fledged tameh zav. On the other hand, Beit Hillel mitarin, because the first sighting of zav can never be an elevated form of tumah. And same thing, mishkavot moshavot ben riyah rishonah the riyah shniyah. The Tumat Mishkav Moshe, which is this elevated Tumah of a Zav that doesn't exist for a Bal Keri, doesn't exist for a first setting of a Zav, Beit Shammai Tolim. Beit Shammai says, once again, you're in limbo, because we need to know if you have a second sighting. If you have a second sighting, then you are a Zav from day one. And therefore, all these Tumot apply to you, whereas Beit Hillel, Mitaharin. Beit Hillel says you're Tohor, because even if you see a second sighting that makes you into a full-fledged Zav, that's only prospective, Mikara Lava, that you're Tamei at this elevated status of Tumah. Till that point, you are a lower form of Tumah. Basically, you have, in this Braita, the same din being repeated twice, which is the distinction between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai's view, which is Beit Hillel's view is that first sighting of a Zav makes you into a lower form Tumah, and that form of Tumah will remain in place, intact, until either you become Tahor, or if you have a second sighting of Zav, then your Tumah is elevated at that point, prospectively. Beit Shammai believes that after the first sighting, it could be that if you had a second sighting, you'll then be elevated retroactively to a higher form of Tumah, or if you become Tahor, then it was always a lower form of Tumah. So then we don't know, and that's why you're Tolin. For Beit Shammai, you're uncertain as to what the outcome is here. If you become Tahor, then all along you are a lower form of Tumah. If you see a second sighting, then retroactively you're a Zav from sighting one, and then everything is a high level Tumah. So for Beit Shammai, it's always Tolin. It's always a Safek as to what your status will be. For Beit Hillel, it's clear. It's either you'll become Tahor and you always had a lower standing of Tumah, or if you have a sighting, you still only had a lower form of Tumah, because you only prospectively have Tumah from the second sighting, you don't have it retroactively. So no matter what the outcome is according to Beit Hillel, you always have a lower form of Tumah, and that's why Beit Hillel is Mitaher in these two cases. So now, what's the question, or what's the point from this Mishnah? Tani Reisha, the Reisha says, HaRoeh Riachat Shel Zov, someone has one sighting of Zov, Beit Shammai Omrim, Kishomeret Yom Keneged Yom, that it's classified like a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, Alma, Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, the Beit Shammai, Tolin. So you see from this that according to Beit Shammai, that a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom equals a Zav of a first Riyah. A Zav of a first Riyah is not Tamei Midrabanan. We wait and see. He's in limbo until we find out what the outcome is. If he becomes Tahor, he was a lower level Tumah. If he has another sighting, then he gets the elevated form of Tumah. That means that Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, Beit Shammai thinks it's the exact same thing. That means when she sees on day 4, and then goes to the mikvah on the beginning of day 5, she is Tahorah and Tolah. We wait and see. If she has another sighting, then retroactively she is Tmeah. If she has no other sighting, she is Tahorah. That is problematic for Rav Huna's position, because this shows you that Beit Shammai does not have a din derabanan of Tumah. They're not saying that she's Tmeah on the second day midrabanan. They're saying Tolin. We wait and see. She's in limbo. And just like the Zav is in limbo, which means either you'll be Tahor, or for the Zav it means a lower form of Tumah, or you'll be Tamei, the higher level of Tumah. So you see from here that this is problematic for that position of Rav Huna. That's what Abaye points out to Rav Yosef. Number one, there should be a difference between what's said in the Mishnah and what Rav Huna says. So therefore, Rav Huna has no basis in the Mishnah. And number two is, this Braita seems to indicate that Rav Huna is incorrect, is problematic because of the fact that it says here, Beit Shammai treats a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom like a Zav after a first Re'iyah. A Zav after a first Re'iyah is Toleh, is in limbo. So too, a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom is in limbo. We don't see any Tumah Midrabanan over here. So the Gemara answers on behalf of Rav Huna, Lo Teima Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, that Braita that says that Beit Shammai equates a Zav after the first Re'iyah to a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, don't say that, Ela Eima, Ki Bo'el Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. Zav after its first Re'iyah, it's not treated like a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, but rather, Ki Bo'el, like someone who was Bo'el a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. Ma'ishna Ihu, Tulo Mitamei Mishkab U'Moshav, Ma'ishna Ihi, Dimitam Yulei. Wait a minute, what's the difference? If you think, according to Rav Huna, there's an institution of Tum'ah Midrabanan, that means a woman who had a sighting on day 4, goes to the mikvah on the beginning of day 5, so technically midoraita, she is Torah, and she's just in limbo until the sun sets on the 5th day. You're telling me, Rav Huna, that the Chachamim, according to Beit Shammai, instituted Tumah throughout that day, midrabanan. So now you're telling me if her husband slept with her during that day, that he's not Tameh, he doesn't have the same status as the woman herself. If the Chachamim instituted Tumah derabanan, she's Tameh, Tumat Zavah, Tana, or Nida, however you want to express it, and a boy only does Tameh. So why are you telling me the Chachamim instituted Tumah for her and not for him? Why is it that he, the husband, doesn't have Tumah Mishkav Moshav, only has lower form Tumah? Why is it that she has high level Tumah? The Rabbanan instituted high level Tumah. The husband who sleeps with her should have the same Tumah as her. He who doesn't have normal or regular flows of dam, the Chachamim didn't institute. The Rabbanan are trying to dissuade the woman from feeling that after she goes to the mikveh on the beginning of the 5th day, that she is Torah Gamrei. So they put in place this Tumah to make her realize that she has possible problems, that if she has a sighting late in the day, retroactively she's going to be Tmeah. But that's for a woman who has this problem on a recurring basis, on a regular basis, they institute it. A husband who sleeps with his wife in that situation, that's a rarer occurrence, doesn't happen all the time, and doesn't mean it happens at all. It's something that you shouldn't be doing anyway, and if they do it, they didn't institute Tumah because it's an unusual occurrence. We're only putting zerot for things that are commonplace and things that can create mistakes. Over here, this is something that is problematic, but it isn't something that we're going to institute a whole gezeirah for. That's the distinction. Umayishna mishkav moshav de mitam yalei. Umayishna bo'el de lo mitam yalei mishkav moshav. Why is there a difference that the woman has a high level of tumah of mishkav moshav, and the husband, the bo'el, does not have that tumah mishkav moshav? So my answer is mishkav moshav de shkiach mitam yalei. Bo'el de lo shkiach lo mitam yalei. So just the mishkav moshav, which is common, meaning that the woman has this problem with mishkav moshav, is commonplace, because she is a nida or a zava, therefore we instituted it by her. By the boel, which is not a common occurrence, we did not institute it. That's Rashi's view of the Gemara, and Tosafot points out the obvious problem in Rashi's explanation of the Gemara, which it seems like the Gemara asks the same question twice, and answers the same thing twice, which is, why is there a difference between her and the boel? And the answer is, because she has a frequent occurrence of this event, and he doesn't have a frequent occurrence of this event. So that's why Tosafot does not love Rashi's explanation of the Gemara and offers an alternative. At first, he offers a defense of Rashi, which is possibly the first question of the Gemara is, from his perspective, why aren't we gozer? And then after the Gemara says, well, he's not shkiach, the Gemara says, okay, don't be gozer because of him, but be gozer because of her. She has tumah, therefore she had impact on him, and the Gemara rejects that as well, saying that that isn't shkiach, or gives the same answer in both of them. Although the Re offers an alternative shot, which Tosafot favors as being what the first question of the Gemara is. According to Rav Huna, why is there a difference between the Zav, right, where if he has a first sighting, Beit Shammai says it's Tluya until we see the second sighting. Once you have the second sighting, then there is retroactive Tuma, which, according to Rashi, seems to be Doraita. According to the Marsha, the Chazon Ish says that that's only Midrabanan. Retroactive, there's Tuma, but still, it's only Tuma Tluya until we get the other information. Yet, on the 12th day, whereby Beit Shammai says that if she goes to the mikveh in the morning and then is together with her husband and then has a riyah later in the day, there we say that there's Tuma of Mishkav Moshav, not only when there is a riyah later on, even if there is no riyah later on. So why is it that by the case of the 12th day, according to Rav Huna, we are Gozer Tuma Mishkav Moshav, even without a riyah? And yet, by the Zav, we only have this Tumat Mishkav Moshav retroactively if there is a second sighting. So why isn't there an institution, the Rabbanan, over there, just like there is by the 12th day, according to Rav Huna? And the Gemara's answer to that is that Dameh Shchichim, that by a woman, the Damim are Shchiach, and therefore Lo Rata and Rata are really interchangeable, whereas by a Zav, that's not a common occurrence, and therefore we have to wait for the second emission before we're going to say that there is Tuma. We're not going to institute rabbinic Tuma before there is a second sighting and it's only Tluya. The way that Tosafot structures the question is premised on the previous Tosafot, who suggests that Rav Huna's position applies not only to the Tochei Meziva, like Rashi said, but even on to day 12, it would be the same Gezeirah Derabanan, even in a case of Lo Ra'ata. And even though from our Mishnah it sounds like that, but Mitamin, the Mishkava Moshav, the Beit Shammai believes that both the Boel and the woman are Tmein on the 12th day when there is a sighting later in the day, which would, if you say now there's no difference whether you did sight or you didn't sight, that would imply that there is no distinction between the Boel and the Nida, and the whole Gemara here is premised on making such a distinction. So the Baal Tosafot will then explain that there is a difference between the 12th day and Tochei Meziva. On the 12th day, whether you cite or you don't cite afterwards, that is the statement of Rav Huna, that it doesn't matter, you are Tamei. And that applies both to the woman and to the man or to the Boel too. Whereas during the Yemei Ziva, by the woman it will make no difference whether she has a Riyah or not. There Rav Huna says she is Tmeya Midrabanan. Whereas for the Boel, it will make a difference. If there's a Riyah, then there's Tuma retroactively Midoraita. If there's no Riyah, then there is no Tumah. And the reason being is because by the 12th day, the din of Shchiach does apply to the Boel. On the 12th day, the Boel is Shchiach to be together with his wife, and that is a common occurrence. So over there, the Chachamim were Gozer, that he has Tumah Mishkav Moshav, just like the woman herself. Whereas by the Tochei Meziva, where the Boel is not Shchiach to be together with his wife, in situations of Shemed Yom Keneged Yom, in that situation, they weren't Gozer, the Tumah on the Boel, only on the woman, where there was no Ri'iyah. It's not. Tavla Yom Shalach Rav Vishimsha. In our Mishnah, it says that if she goes to the mikveh on the day after, meaning on the day after she saw a sighting, and now she's Shomeret Yom, Keneged Yom, she then is together with her husband. Harizotu Bara, the Mishnah says that that is Tarbut Ra. That is a bad practice. That's going to lead to problems in the long run. And it is a ill-conceived behavior because there's a possibility if she sees later in the day that retroactively she'll be Tmeah, and then you have a real problem. Now, what does it say about the Tum'ah with regards to this situation? Magan u'bilatan tluin says that both their Maga and their Bila have to wait to see what happens according for the rest of the day, which means that we are waiting to see if she has another sighting that day. If she has another sighting that day, then retroactively she was always Tmeah. That means she's Tmeah, the boil nidah's Tmeah, they have to bring a korban. But if she doesn't have any sighting, then it was bad practice, but nothing happens retroactively. Now, my lav, Dibri HaKolhi, end of the Mishnah sounded like that. That was the position of both Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. This was with regard to within the 11 days of Yemei Ziba. On day 11 of the Yemei Ziba, we saw there's a machloket between them. But with regards to in the Yemei Ziba, we saw that everybody agreed. And now we're saying that if she goes to the mikveh after sighting on the fourth day, on the morning of the fifth day, she goes to the mikveh, she shouldn't be together with her husband. If she is together with her husband, nothing happens until we get more information later in the day. What that shows you, if Beit Shammai agrees with that, is that there's no rabbinic institution of Tumah. Otherwise, she'd be Tmeah from the time that she went to the mikveh on the morning. She would still be Tmeah, mid Rabbanan. The fact that it's Toleh means that there is no Tumah here, and that's again against Rabuna. Where it says, lo, Beit Hillel, that last line of the Mishnah is only Beit Hillel, not Beit Shammai. The Tanya, because we have a difference in opinion. Amar Lahem, Rabbi Yehuda, the Beit Hillel. So Rabbi Yehuda, obviously over here, is representing Beit Shammai's position, and you can see in the Gra that he takes out Rabbi Yehuda and replaces it with Beit Shammai. So Amar Lahem, Beit Shammai, the Beit Hillel. V'chilu zu atem korin tarbut ra. That's what you call bad behavior, improper conduct. That person is as if he just slept with a nida. How could she be a nida? Or during the 11 days of Yemei Ziba, nida is not relevant now. So you're right. He intended to sleep with a zava kitana. Mar says, zava sakadatcha. Why would you think she's a zava? She went to the mikveh on the morning already. She's no longer a zava. She needs Erev Shemesh. You're right. But she's not a Zavah, she is Torah as long as she gets through the day without any sighting. Eleima lib'ol shomeret yom keneged yom. He intended to sleep with a woman that is shomeret yom keneged yom. But what you see from this is, Beit Shammai has more than a problem of tarbut ra'ah. Beit Hillel's statement that it's tarbut ra'ah just means that you shouldn't do this. This is improper conduct. This is a bad decision, but that's it. Beit Shammai says, this person is sleeping with a shomeret yom keneged yom. Beit Shammai seems to say there's a problem immediately, and that problem immediately is because they have maybe an institution, made the Rabbanan, of Tumah, even after she goes to the mikveh, and then that would be more supportive of Rav Huna's contention. Now, next, Itmar, if it wasn't enough, the confusion with regards to day 11, what about day number 10? Asiri, on day 10, if you have a sighting, what is the rules with regards to that? Rav Yochanan Amar Asiri Ketishi, 10th day of your Yemei Ziba are no different than the 9th day of your Yemei Ziba. Machi'i Bayishimur, Afasiri Bayishimur. Just like the 9th day requires Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom in order to be Tahor, so too, day number 10 requires Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom to be Tahor. Reish Lakish Amar, Asiri Kerachadasar. Day number 10 is just like day number 11. Just like day number 11 can't have a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, so too number 10 doesn't have it. Ma chadasar lo bay shimur, just like day 11 doesn't require shimur, meaning that according to Beit Hillel, immediately on the night, if you go to the mikveh, you're tahor midoraita. According to Beit Shammai, in the morning, if you went to the mikveh, you're immediately tahor. Afasiri lo bay shimur, so too, the 10th day will have that same structure to it. So now, what is the logic behind this? Is that day number 11, the reason you don't have any shimur to day number 11 is because day 12 is not part of the Yemei Ziba. Day 10 has a in-between status. That is because day 10, if she has a sighting then, the maximum that she can become is a Zavak Tana, which she is already, because she can't have a third sighting, because she can only see on day number 11, she can never see on day number 12. So the question is, does day 10 look more like day 9, or does it look more like day 11? It looks more like day 11 from the perspective that you can never become a Zavak Yedola, because you can never have a three sightings in a row. On the other hand, it looks a little more like day 9 because there's a day afterwards where you could have a Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. That's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are arguing about. Which day is 10 more similar to, or what is the structure of day 10? Is it like 11? And that means that there's no din of Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, or there's a modified Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, or is it like day 9 and it has a regular Shomer Yom Keneged Yom? Ika the Mat Ilaha, some bring this Makhloket on this. Amar lo Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah le Rabbi Akiva. Elazar ben Rabbi Azariah says to Rabbi Akiva, Afilo atam marbeh, bashemen, bashemen, kol ayom kulo. Even if you keep telling me all these drashot from the word bashemen, eni shomei alecha. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to buy into that. That's because by the Korban Todah, as we know, requires 40 lachamim that come along with it. 30 of those are matzah. 10 of them are chametz. With regards to the matzot, it says in Parshat Tzav, imal todah yakrivenu, bikrival zevach todah, chalot matzot, blulot bashemen, rikike matzot, mishukhim bashamen, salot mibeket chalot blulot bashamen. You have bashamen 3 times in that pasuk. So Rabbi Akiva says, well, bashamen, I know that every mincha comes with shemen. So, bashemen, if you told me that once, I would have assumed that it has regular shemen, like every other mincha. Now you told me bashemen again? Why do you need to tell me a shemen a second time? That's what we call riboy achar riboy, an inclusion after an inclusion, and riboy achar riboy, ela lema'eit, comes to reduce it. That comes to teach you that there is a chatzi log shemen, not a full log shemen, for these chalot. Then we have bashemen again, that comes to tell you that you split that chatzi log into 2 pieces, that you give a 1/8 of a log to the chalot, 1/8 of a log to the rikikim, and a 1/4 log to the revucha, that sums up to a 1/2 log, but the extra bashemer, the revucha, says that it gets extra shemen. It gets 1/2 of the 1/2 log, and the chalot and rikikim split between them the other 1/2 of the 1/2 log, meaning that each one of them gets 1/8 of a log. That Rabbi Akiva learns all from the words bashemen that are found in the pasuk. 3 times the word bashemen appears. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah comes along and says, you can say bashemen all day long. I'm not going to buy into that. That's not the reason that these dinim are there. He's going to say in a second, it's halacha de Moshe Mitzrayim. It actually might be a fundamental difference between Rabbi Akiva, who, remember, is somewhat lacking in Mesorah because he doesn't learn until much later in life. And therefore Rabbi Akiva, who is called the king of Svara, you'll find him throughout the Mishnayot, learning things that other people have, Bimisora, or have, Alokh Lamosh Mishinai, he finds them in the Psukim. Because he is someone who sees everything in the logical extension, the Limudim from the Psukim. He's also the one who can be Doresh, all the Kotarot, all the crowns and all the letters, and that's Rabbi Akiva. Elazar ben Azariah is a youngster when he became the Nasi. He's someone who is all by the Mesorah, Alokh Lamosh Mishinai. And here you see similar Machloket, which is Rabbi Akiva's learning out of the Pasuk. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says it doesn't come from the Pasuk. It's a Alokh Lamosh Mishinai. How fundamentally Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah argues on Rabbi Akiva is a Machloket Mishonim in the Gemara Menachot. With regards to this, Rashi there and the Ketav Yad Rashi have a difference of opinion as to whether he doesn't argue at all. Just the argument is about the source for the Alokh. Or does he argue and say that everything gets a chatzi log shemen, split between all of the different matzot evenly, which means each one of them will get a 1/6 of a log of shemen? There are other opinions that he believes that he learns that the half log shemen for all the matzot is the halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim. But as far as the distribution between chalot, rikikim, and revucha, he agrees with Rabbi Akiva's drasha b'shemen to say that you get an 1/8 of a log for the chalot, 1/8 of a log for the rikikim, and a 1/4 log for the revucha. So that's a question as to how fundamentally he argues. But basically, the issue is whether it's a din learned out of the Torah from the Psukim, or is it a halacha l'moshe mitzrayim? Ella, what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says to me is, chatzi log shemen l'todah, that half log shemen that comes with the todah, urvit shemen l'nazir, and similarly, the revealed log shemen, you can see the change in Girsa by the Agod Reinschenberg. And even though it happens to be true that there is a 1/4 log of yayin for the Nazir, but that's not learned from the Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim, that's learned from standard practices by Korbanot, and therefore it's really the 1/4 log shemen that for a Nazir's Korban, who also has 2 types of matzot that are brought, that is the Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim. And the 11 days from Nidah to Nidah, the Yemei Ziva, are a halacha on the Moshe Mitzinai. And Tosafot speculates that these three are brought together either because he held all three of these from his Rebbe together, or because Rabbi Akiva argues on him in all three of these instances. My halacha. What is the halacha on the Moshe Mitzinai about the 11 days of Yimei Ziva? V'yokan Amar, halacha is Yud Aleph. The halacha is that the 11th day of the Yimei Ziva is an exception. So every other day of the Yimei Ziva is the same din. The 11th day, I need a halacha l'moshe misinai to tell me it acts differently, that you're not shomer yom, keneged yom, for the 11th day. Rishlakish amar, halachot, echadasar. Rishlakish says, halachot, in plural, that there are two dinim that are associated with day number 11, and that is, number one, it does not require shimur, and number two is, it will not be shimur for the day before. Rabbi Yochanan amar halacha echadasar. Rabbi Yochanan says that the only halacha l'moshe misinai here is that the 11th day is different. Achadasar hu delo bai shimur. Achadasar is the only day that doesn't require shomer yom keneged yom. Ha le'achrine avid shimur. Any other day during the Yimei Ziva, including day number 10, will require shmira, will require shomer yom keneged yom. Reish Lakish amar halachot achadasar. I mean that there are two halachot with regards to the 11th day. Lo achadasar bai shimur. Achadasar itself does not require shimur on the 12th day. But lo shimur la'siri havi. It also doesn't act as a shimur for the 10th day, meaning that the 10th day doesn't require shimur. So he has halachot, two halachot with regards to day number 11. One is that it doesn't require shimur, one that doesn't act as a shimur for 10. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says halacha, there's only one halacha with regards to halacha l'moshe Sinai with day number 11, and that is that day number 11 doesn't require shimur, but it will have the capacity to act as a shimur for day number 10. Now that's the view of Rashi, that the machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is about this halakha of the Moshe Mitzinai of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and they're defining what exactly is the halakha of the Moshe Mitzinai that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was speaking about. The Balei HaTosafot think that that is incorrect based on what we're going to see in tomorrow's daf, because the Gemara is going to challenge the core of the halakha of the Moshe Mitzinai that you need 11 days for Yimei Ziva from Sukkim, and seeming to indicate that it's a limud and not a halakha of the Moshe Mitzinai. Which seems to be that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is talking about the entire 11 days, and not just about the 11th day. And therefore, the Balei HaTosafot suggests that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish both agree that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is speaking about the 11 days of Yimei Ziva, whereas their machloket is a machloket in Svara as to what is the din of the 11th day. They just frame it in the terms of Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai. And the Tosafot HaRosh, interestingly enough, suggests that maybe Rashi had a different girsa in the Gemara, that didn't say that the halacha l'moshe misinai is about the achad aser yom sheben nida l'nida, but rather about the yud aleph day that is ben nida l'day, on the 11th day that is between nida l'nida, and that explains maybe why Rashi had a different view as to what the halacha l'moshe misinai of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was. Okay, we're going to stop here, six lines from the bottom of Ayin Bet, Amud Bet.